Hello?
I'm still here. I was...
Oh, okay.
I muted for just 1 second. All right. It's been a really long time, I just realized, too. I think 2014 was the last time we chatted.
A while,
yeah.
Yep, right after the Olympia Sync Summit, yep.
Yeah, but I think there was another one after that, right? 2016 one.
Oh, I don't think so. Not that I remember.
You? No, I mean... I don't think you went, but there was
I didn't go for that one, no. Had a little intrepidation about that one. Didn't think I was going to go at the last minute. I kind of backed out. Kind of had some weird vibes about that one.
All in all, it was good. I mean, there was drama and stress here and there, but it was good.
Yeah, hearing some of the recounts and traffic and jams and all...
That was true. I forgot all about that. All right. So then, if you're ready, I'll dive into this introduction. All right. Let's see how well I can do. For me, I think I blew up myself the first time. Either it must have been in 2009, where The thing is, I think beginnings are so much fun. This is true. But a lot of times people get caught up in this, in whatever it is they're doing, thinking that there is an answer. And I think a lot of people really, think that when we chase this thing, that there will be an answer. And I think that, the real truth is that there's an answer for you that you constantly have to find, and that's the beauty of art, is that you get to find it over and over and over again. And then through that, those documents, whatever they may be, you kind of become, you can see how you've evolved and changed and grown or developed or whatever. I don't know. It is interesting, though, because we're kind of in a quiet time as far as things go. It doesn't feel like people are making a ton of work. It might change.
Sure. They could all be up in the lab right now, working on something crazy, the next new thing, or somebody unknown is going to put something out that inspires, me to do something great again or do something new. So... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's not so much, I mean, personally, in my personal life, I'm having strong personal type syncs lately. They come in waves in my own personal life. And that's to me, it's like I notice it and I go about my day. Sometimes I'll have to stop what I'm doing and be like, whoa, that's so crazy, or share it with someone. But, it doesn't have to, I think chasing the meaning of it all, I think at some point, if there hasn't been somebody already, I'm always tracking down people's work and, documentary wise and the topic and books, on the subject. But I feel I've yet to have a definitive documentary, a book wrote on the subject. And I know I'm ignorant of a lot. So I'm sure there's somebody out there that says, no, pick up this book and read it. You're an idiot. Here it is right here. This person set it out, case by case example. It's perfectly explained here. But I think it's time that Sync gets a real documentary style thing that documents certain large, big, universal things that people can relate to, personal matters, and just sets it out and says, here's the Bible. Here's the Bible on Sync, and then step away, I think that's yet to be done. But I think maybe I think a lot of it has been covered, especially in video format, maybe changing up how the videos, I think, there's a few people out there right now, some younger people that are doing great video work and stuff. So, I mean, Jordan is one of those, forgive me if I'm pronouncing his last name, Jordan Bartel? How do you say his last name?
I think it's Jordan Barty.
Yeah, there we go. That's the guy right there. His last video was excellent, There's going to be people coming along doing great stuff like that, That's where it is for me, so... But I think until we get that one solid Bible on what we're experiencing now as of this moment in time as Sync, and kind of produce it in a a very cutting edge way right now. I think that's all that I could see. And I don't have the energy to take that project on or the knowledge. So who knows, man? I don't know. It's concerning because I see so much great people, great artists that I feel that have maybe gotten discouraged at this lack of understanding of their work, or maybe comprehension, or just acknowledgement of their work, that they want to walk away. Don't do it, man. Just do what you love, and all that shit will come afterward if it's important. I don't care if I'm like, you know, Henry Darger, you know, like created some huge archive of work, and then after I die, someone finds it. That's awesome too, you know, right? You know, who knows? Maybe I'm deluding myself, and nothing I do is worth anything, and no one cares about my art. That's fine as well too, but I'm doing it for personal satisfaction. I just want to encourage others to do the same, you know. Do it because you love to do it. Go off the fucking deep end and just go for it. Forgive up all restraints and anything that you think people think of you, and just do what you do. That's the most important thing, in my opinion, right now, for anybody who's listening. You yourself, as being a great producer of sync and art yourself, you know, being a great writer and producing this podcast like a madman and working hard. Man, just work hard, dude. In my studio, I have a plaque that says, back to work, just back to work. Anytime I get distracted, back to work. You know, it's like this mantra, back to work in my mind, you know, just get on it, get it done. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, my stuff has a bit of an unpolished feel to it. And it's not that I have an unwillingness to create this masterpiece, because when it comes to my paintings, I do try to polish my paintings, especially certain ones I'll agonize over them. I definitely will. But when it comes to certain other avenues where it's just something that it's just sharing an idea of a sync video, I don't really try to learn. I'm not going to sit and learn how to, and I'm not going to get the most expensive software and learn all these editing techniques to get an idea across. You know, I just want to share the idea and move on. And, you know, I think that in itself, it's just not, there's so many ideas, so many creative things I want to do. And when you're just bursting with ideas, slowing yourself down in any way seems very unpleasant. So if anybody does view my work, I just kind of preface it this, that, you know, it's, you know, there's better sync videos out there than mine. There's more polished, better produced, you know, maybe everything is super cut and clean, but what I do is I'm sharing an idea. And if somebody finds enjoyment in that, then that's awesome, man. Cause I did too. So,
you know, what's the trippiest thing? So I did that show with Jordan probably the week before 9/11, but because I was editing it and it came out on 9/11, it brought me back to all those different, you know, moments from the past. And so, you know, I listened to the show that Will and I did with Joe Alexander on 9/11, and then it's interesting because I think at that point in time he had like 500,000 YouTube views, which at that point in time was so many to us, right? So he's speaking in terms of 500,000, you know, which, and it is like nothing the Sync Book did. The closest thing to anything viral was the actual Sync Book 1. I think that kind of got out there into the world. But then we spoke with Joe again on Back to the Future Day. We must have recorded it like a couple nights before, but we acted like it was on Back to the Future Day, which was 2015. And at that point in time, he was uploading the video again. And, you know, there was another 500,000 views kind of situation. But I looked the other day, and there's like 3 or 4 million views at this point, which is just insane to me. Yeah. You know?
Isn't it? It is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the cool thing. Go on.
No, I just, it's because like, it has everything there where it's got all the weirdness and it's fun, and that it is educational, you know, so it's not, people with an open mind can come away with it with a question and want to, you know, seek more out.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, that the thing about, like, just being with Joe for the little time that I did spend with him and seeing what he had did with that video and not really claiming much credit for it and giving so many people, you know, end credits in that film was just awesome. I mean, I think he even put my name in there, and I don't even know what I even contribute if it wasn't just, you know, being a part of a thread with him. And how awesome is that? Being a team player like he is, and just spending time with him in Olympia for the little bit of time I did spend with him, I felt that from him, just a real genuine dude that works hard. You know, I remember, you know, here I am kind of getting loose and smoking weed and passing it to him and being like, you know, he says, no thanks. But it wasn't a judgmental thing or anything. It just, this is this dude who has a career, who works hard at what he does and can't, you know, partake particularly maybe in that moment or ever, but is dedicated to what he does and focused. And I think that's a testament to hard work. And there was no drugs, alcohol. He didn't need a trip to get that idea or to work hard to get that. You know, there was none of that in there with him. You know, it was just working hard and being a genuine dude. And I think playing, like, that's 4 million views. Like, let's go Boundless Dawn, like Steve's old channel. Like, man, this is a long time ago that I checked, but I think he had like 25,000 subscribers. I mean, that's significant. Like, I mean, to before even like the YouTube ad apocalypse came along, like, just monetizing those kinds of videos. And even if you can get past the YouTube censors with any kind of, I mean, he was doing a lot of videos that still made it past with just, you know, narration and sharing ideas and monetizing those videos, man, you could really parlay that into something. And same with Joe. I mean, there's money. Maybe there was, maybe the time has passed, but just even SyncBook and your radio show should get to have more of a presence. I don't know what kind of a following you get on like iTunes or whatever, wherever else you host your show, but finding that watering hole where everybody's at and just attacking it. Like, it's hard to become one of those successful YouTubers. Like, Joe, you have to sell a true, you know, it's like you almost have to be a hardliner. And a lot of times people that are successful, they're kind of shady shamsters. You know, they're selling something. You have to take a stance. You have to staunchly believe in it and you have to sell it, you know, and that's a hard thing to do, especially with, I think a lot of people in the sync community are very cool like that. They don't even know if they believe their own shit half the time. How do you sell it to somebody, you know? But like getting on that kind of a platform and promoting yourself, I mean, even if you have to do kind of, you know, clickbaity type stuff, would be so beneficial. Like, I feel bad that some of the stuff has dropped off within SyncBook and stuff where, you know, like you put the video on, awesome, cool videos out and very great interviews and stuff podcast wise, but it's not quite grabbing as many people as it could if there was a constant sort of YouTube or Steam it kind of presence, you know, where you're on these video streaming places and promoting your message constantly. It's a lot of work. Like, I don't even want to do it, you know, but that's what, you know, that kind of hard work that Joe did with that video. And look, it gets, you know, it definitely, like, I remember at one point he was so genuine about it. He's like, half those people aren't even watching it. You know, you can tell what your analytics, you can see, you know, your attention, audience retention, and who's dropping off at what point and how many people actually watch. But, you know, there's a definite traffic there. And like, I personally don't want to do stuff for money, but that's where I'm saying, like, the dude did it for heart, and look at all the success that came from it by just being genuine and working hard, you know? Like, I don't know, that's where I've been at. I kind of hijacked the conversation around that back to what I was thinking before, but it's been something deep inside me lately that I had some of the awesomest experiences within the sync community, and being, you know, a hobbyist in a way with my art, and having, you know, let's say Alan Green or whoever, David Plate or Will Morgan or you yourself, you know, compliment a painting I've done or, you know, share my stop motion video within just, you know, the small community of like SyncBook. I mean, that, how awesome is that to actually have a venue or someone where my art gets out of the house, and just to get to go to the first Olympia Sync Summit and hang out with Andras Jones and things like this and be like, man, my fucking, that's so weird. My life is so weird right now. Like, you have to stop and appreciate all the weirdness and fun, excellent things that all that provided for me. So even if it was really nothing on the grand scale of things for anybody to have done, or to, you know, hit the share button on something that I've done, that means a lot to me. And I love what the Sync Book has done. And I feel bad for some of the OG people that don't seem to be around anymore, that, you know, they've moved on, and that's cool. I'll always consider their artwork, and what they've done is amazing, you know? So, you know, if it's something like that for someone where they move on, that's fine. But I love you guys, and I try to check out anybody that gets kind of brought in that's new, you know, someone you'll have on your show, or somebody comes to the attention of Sync Book, and I'm like, hey, who's this person? You know, it's still a great net catching people, you know, and it might be slow at the moment, but those are the ebbs and flows. And I just want to be kind of a rallying cry for anybody that's kind of feeling down or like, whatever, man, I'm not successful. Why am I doing this? You know, I got a fucking day job. Like, dude, all that. If it's what you want to do and you enjoy it, do it, man. Who cares if it makes money? You know, if you can stand to get up and work till, you know, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and not get home till 6 at night, and then get up, do that 5 days a week, and then on the weekends to take all your free time and put it into your art, then hey, that's what you love to do. It will garnish something. Your hard work too will bring you that too, Doug. And I appreciate. I always look for those people that are still hardworking and still doing stuff, man. Just do it.
Oh,
just do it.
It's so funny because Will used to say, "Oh, we'll never when the time this stuff finally catches on, we'll all be dead and gone." And I'm like, oh, Will, no, don't say that. Because
yeah, I've had to.
When everything was cranking at its hottest was, you know, people really thought that we could somehow make a living out of this. But we weren't,
right.
We really weren't selling anything is the thing. Like, so you're either selling, you know, like you are the guru and you're the product, right?
Yep, right.
Or you have all this other, swag that you just, you know. So I think with the conspiracy realm, it was just natural to sell fear. And so you'd have some kind of, you know, product that you could sell to capitalize on the fear that you generate from your show, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, emergency preparedness kits or whatever, you know?
It's so lucrative. And that fear keeps coming back. It's addicting, you know, so much so.
But then I don't know. Like politics, it doesn't seem like, unless you somehow get in a position where like some think tank or government is actually paying you to be like an opinion and influencer, you know, maybe, but like, that's just it. We joked that we should start a religion. Like, that would be where we could actually get money. If we started a religion and called it a church, and it would be tax-free, and we could just go full religion with the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the best bet would just be taking the, you know, just like even with Always Record, just, you know, even if just hearing something, like, it's very voyeuristic. Like, I've recently posted some videos of myself just talking, and I've always been very cringy about that. I can't, you know, like, I just don't like to see myself, and I don't like what I say. I have to, like, script myself more if I, you know, I'm kind of a dopey, foolish kind of a person and say whatever comes to mind. So, you know, but like, just to be, I mean, people are very voyeuristic in this time and age. Just to put yourself out there and just talk about whatever, people will listen, you know? And to get out there and put the podcast on like YouTube and get your platform, you know, get a Patreon going and just talk, you know, even if every show isn't about synchronicity, it's just about your life. You will attract a listener, I think. And there's an avenue still out there, I think, to make money. But the I don't know. It's not important. And yet, I don't know. Who knows? I know nothing, really.
Does Patreon take more than PayPal or less?
I don't know the logistics of it.
Yeah,
I've never tried.
Either.
I've never donated to anyone. But, you know, just, you know, even ad revenue if that's still lucrative, which I don't know. I mean, to be a presence like that could pay for at least the time that you spend doing it, you know. But I hate to see people that you know, maybe consider this an avenue of like, you know, fine, I can finally get out of my day job and pursue my art and get paid for it, that might have dropped off because of that or felt the less inclined to do it. That I hope that's, they'd see that it's about their art, and that's the most important thing. So, yeah. I don't know. And there's conflicts within every kind of, you know, community and how things are done and people and whatnot, but it's none of my business really. I don't, you know, it's just an opinion and you know what they are, you know, everyone's got one. So.
Well, with the early Always Record, I mean, definitely because it was the meeting of these really interesting minds and they were really exploring, you know, so it was the idea of a beginning. And so, but sustaining that kind of,
right,
that fever, really, that's the trick where, you know, they each were finding their own answers. And how do you have those conversations
I can only really speak for myself, but I do have a general, if I can find someone that I seem to have a connection with or I like the things they say, it becomes very where you just listen to what they say. Like, I mean, I think that's why in a way I've been kind of dropping who I, you know, I'm less guarded about who I am in social media and, you know, just my art, just who I am in general. I'm just saying, hey, this is what I'm like. I'm going to stop hiding it in fear of not being accepted. And I think there's something about that too, that, you know, maybe there's like, I almost would love to hear like your backstory, like any prominent, I'm sure after a while, you know, that pool runs dry as well, but you take any prominent member in the sync community that we all know, that we all enjoy their work, and get personal background information on them. I mean, it's very intimate, but you notice a lot of like celebrities and, you know, musicians and stuff that are very guarded about their personal life. There's an intense interest to want to know about them, and that feeds a curiosity as well. Somebody would listen to say, well, where did you grow up? What was your life like? You know, who are you really intently, you know?
Did you ever listen to the Aeolus Coffis? I think it was the Stormy Weather podcast. It's Jason Horsley's, but it was from a million years ago. And he always started the show with like the same 15 questions for all the guests.
And, yeah.
And so it was interesting.
I remember the one with Jake.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and maybe he only did it a few times, but I mean, he did it enough for it to be a thing in my mind. And so that's really interesting because it did humanize them right off the bat.
Yeah.
Where, yeah. What do you know, what's your favorite corporate candy bar?
You know, or just personal. Like, I believe there was an Always Record where Alan kind of got deep. Maybe it was a year or two ago. It was sort of a while before there was a lull or, you know, he had, you know, it kind of stepped away for a while. But he told about his life, you know, like where he was at personally. And like, maybe that's not something, you know, you look back on and say, maybe I wish I wouldn't have, you know, said all that about myself or who I am. But that was intriguing. Like, wow, I identify with this person. I think once you can identify with someone and be like, I've been through those things too, or I identify to that, that's a strong thing too, that holds someone's attention as well too. I don't know. I enjoy things like that, just knowing who you are and, you know, who some of these people are that I've been kind of having a relationship with in a weird cyberspace, you know? Just who are you? What are you about? You know, this is me, you know? You know, I'm sure you've been weirded out by me. Well, let me show you how weird I am, you know? You know, this is, I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah.
Put some thoughts in.
Have you spoken to Will? I haven't spoken to Will in probably a million years at this point.
Yeah, I did. There was a moment where he finished his video with me that we had been working on forever. And he kind of, he was very vague and weird. And just like, I'm, you know, this is all I'm going to do for a while. And, you know, this, I want this to be one of these things. And I was like, okay. You know, and he didn't explain anything. And he stepped away. And then recently I called him and, like, what's up, man? You know, like, saw this, noticed this, you know, we used to kind of talk a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know where to stand sometimes with Will. I get a strange thing from Will. I don't know. like sometimes I don't know how honesty is, and then sometimes he blows my mind with honesty. Like I don't know, you know. I talked to him recently, and we did talk for a while, and getting like, hey, you know, that's cool to talk to you again, and we, you know, but I kind of tried to ask him what happened to him. I was like, did you have a falling out with Doug? And he didn't want to talk about it. And I was like, what's up? Do you still talk to Alan? Yeah, I don't. He didn't really divulge anything. He's like, not to be elusive or make you wonder more, but just some personal stuff. And I was like, well, you know, don't come back to sync, man. I was like, don't be, you know, whatever. I was like, just get back over here. You know, if it's something you enjoy, do it. You know, I tried to encourage him as well.
But he might be making. He might be doing music more exclusively lately.
I think that's what he kind of said. You know, I was like, well, I'm glad to know that you're still being artistic. You know, like you're still expressing yourself, and that's important. I have this nurturing kind of want to, if I see someone that does, you know, something, they have a talent or something they enjoy to do, to not see them do that, I always get angry and try to be an encouragement, you know. I mean, come on, man. Don't give up on yourself, you know. Do it.
Yeah.
Something out there for you.
I think it's, I mean, just for your own benefit, I think he doesn't want to come back on air until he can land the Goro Adachi interview like that.
Really?
And I always forget. I'm like, oh, hey, you should come back. We'll talk about this. It's perfect timing. It's like, no. I don't want to come. It's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, Will. I forgot. You don't come back until we do the Goro Adachi interview. Goro.
Get him on. Let's see.
But Goro is like this unlandable interview, and so it's almost like, so yeah, he's an interesting contradiction, but I'm sure he'll arise in the sync web in the future again.
I think so.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be impossible for me. This April will be the 10th anniversary of the sinkhole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so. Wow. That's crazy. But then my first blog was, I started in the fall of 2008. And so, you know, it was in the summer. It was, I think it was August. But anyway, you know, that's a 10-year anniversary. That's just.
Wow. Oh, gee. Man.
That's so mind-blowing to me.
I was just enjoying your guys' work back then and not even producing yet. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then it's just so weird because our history is kind of the history of social media a little bit too, where, you know, we explored all these different social, like non-local internet technologies so that we could connect as people to share this thing that we're into.
It's kind of run its course in a way in that you have explored all everyone. I mean, all these different, all as soon as they started to arise, there was like a voice there for sync in all these different places.
Yeah. It seemed like everyone gave Instagram a go, but it really never happened. I mean, it seemed like it should have happened, but it never really happened. Twitter was a real big sync node, but. And then it seems like Facebook took over for the blogs, where people would rather link, you know, on threads on Facebook than create a blog that people would comment on. I mean, that was what's so fascinating, was like, it's almost this archaic technology in that, you know, you would create something on your blog and then everyone would comment on it and take a piece and then create their piece on their blog, and then you would comment on it, and then we decided, and this is the sinkhole, you know, what if we were doing this together in the same space? Oh, that reminds me, David Plate shared this thing from the Wayback Machine to look at something, and I guess I knew about that, but I didn't really know about it, and so I went and looked at these different sync blogs that I was associated with, and I didn't realize that it like takes snapshots at different times, but it's not like all the time. So you can't, there are things that are lost, but if you go and look at the Wayback Machine for the sinkhole, it's taken pictures of it at various times, and it gets so wacky. It's like one of these cartoons where they, you know, reality, the forces of reality change, and all, you know, where science breaks down. I think I lost.